This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is family law, focusing on the Superior Court's family law facilitators' offices in all California counties, which assist self-represented litigants in dissolution of marriage cases. My guests are directors of self-help family law facilitators' offices for Reba Sarus, Santa Clara County, Lolly Roberts, Sacramento County, Maria Livingston, Orange County, and B.J. Fatum, a specialist in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. His office is in San Jose. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies specialization in 11 fields of law, the family law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. It's also our Call a Lawyer night. We're doing this as we always do it. This is a live program on September 27th. It's our monthly Call a Lawyer night for you to talk with attorneys off the air. And please be ready to jot down some phone numbers if, in case you do want to speak with an attorney. At the station, KLW in San Francisco, that number is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. We have attorneys here for criminal law, workers' compensation law, employment law, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and tax law. And that number again, 800-525-9917. And we have attorneys who will be taking calls at their offices. And for family law, Janet Lee Frankel, a certified specialist, will take calls tomorrow, September 28th from 9 to 10 a.m. at 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, Peter Stern, a certified specialist, will take calls this evening from 7 to 8 p.m. at 650-326-2282, 650-326-2282. And for landlord-tenant law, Stephen Miyake will take calls this evening from 7 to 8 p.m. at 415-421-4400, 415-421-4200. And tomorrow for bankruptcy, if you're having problems with your creditors, Leon Baer will take calls tomorrow, September 28th, from 9 a.m. to noon. He'll return your calls on Friday. The number is 800-477-3111, 800-477-3111. Well, I welcome the three of you to the program, or actually the four of you to the program. It's wonderful to have you here. What is the Family Law Facilitator's Office? What does it mean?
Well, this is Maria from Orange County, Chuck, and the Family Law Facilitator Program is also sometimes referred to as a 4D program because it was initiated as Section 4D under the Social Security Act. It came into being because there was welfare reform, and they wanted to find a way to get the welfare actually repaid through the child support system. And so the way to get people to participate was to have procedural assistance so that they could do that. And that was the beginning of the Family Law Facilitator Program.
Well, that's very interesting.
And then there's, I think, there's more to the history. And I think Fariba, who's from Santa Clara County, Santa Clara County was the pilot program, and Fariba.
Oh, really? Was it?
Yes, and Fariba. I mean, you and I both go back to the beginning of the pilot program. But I'm going to turn it over to Fariba to explain how that all came to be, and then from there expanded throughout the state.
Thanks, BJ. Hi, Chuck. Yes, back in 1994. In Santa Clara County, there was a problem with self-represented litigants clogging up the court systems because there was no help available and they didn't know how to file motions, and they ended up in court not knowing what to do, not knowing what happened. So the Board of Supervisors gave a little bit of money to the court and said, here, let's see how you can basically, I'm simplifying it, but that's basically what happened. And Constance Jimenez, who was an attorney at the time, a family law specialist at the time, was hired to provide part-time services to the self-represented litigants. And yes, BJ and I were both baby attorneys at that time in 1994, and we both remembered the beginnings, the humble beginnings of the program. And the same kind of program was going on in San Mateo County. Then you fast forward to 1996 when the legislation that Maria is referring to passed in California, and funding was provided officially to every county in California based on the programs that were in existence, the pilots in Santa Clara County and San Mateo County, mm-hmm. And the rest is history. Of course, the program has developed a lot since then, and morphed into what we have now.
Every county in California, where there's a Superior Court, has a family law facilitator's office. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And but are they? Do they differ, BJ? Do they differ? Is there some difference between some and as opposed to others?
Well, and I can tell you because I practice throughout all the counties, but my office is in Santa Clara County. And
no wonder I keep seeing you spin like this.
I'm all over the place, but I've seen what the services are in Santa Clara County, but I will turn it over to Fariba, Maria, and Lolly, and it's interesting. The services are quite different from county to county.
Well, let me ask Lolly this, and Lolly, welcome to the program. Lovely to have you here. What can or cannot a family law facilitator's office do for someone who does not have an attorney, is faced with this very difficult time of a dissolution of marriage? What can someone expect?
Okay, so the family law facilitator's office mandate is to provide, as Maria said, assistance in the Title 40 cases, which is the governmental child support. So this is where the Department of Child Support Services has an active case and the parties don't have an attorney, so they have a place at the court where they can get help with their child support case. That's the one thing that we are all required to do. But because we tend to be family law attorneys with a lot of experience in other areas of family law, and our courts have a great need because we have large volume of self-represented litigants in the family court, we also provide family law services. So most counties also provide assistance to folks who are trying to represent themselves in divorce, in child custody matters, and then it goes out from there. Some help with domestic violence, some help with small claims, unlawful detainer, adoption, probate. It can go whichever direction the court feels it has a need and is willing to pay to provide the service.
Does, for example, a self-representative person, someone who cannot afford to have an attorney, can that person expect, generally speaking, throughout the state of California and these various family law facilitators' offices, for an attorney from the family law facilitators' office to go with them into court?
Well, that's a good... This is Maria, Chuck, and that's a good question. Actually, no. We don't provide the service of going in and accompanying the person into the courtroom. We are neutrals, and we can help either side of a case, and we help them with the procedures. One day we might help one side of the case, the other day we might have the responding party, and we're providing neutral information about their options. They make the decisions. We provide them with the information about the procedure once they've made their decision about how they want to proceed with their case.
Well, let me ask you this. If one of the parties is self-represented, in other words, does not have an attorney, but the other party, the other member of the marriage does, how often do you find that, or is that very unusual?
This is Fariba, Chuck. That's another good question, and no, it's not very unusual. We refer to that as a lopsided case.
A lopsided, I can understand that, yeah.
Right, exactly.
I thought you were just calling me lopsided in all these years. So now
I know what to call BJ from now on.
Never. So in that case, I want to go back just for a minute to the point you were making with regards to every office, every facilitator's office, self-help center in California, being run independently and operating differently according to their staffing and other factors, right? So a good place to go for people is to the Judicial Council website, www.courts, www.ca.gov, and there is a link to every facilitator's office in California, and that way a listener that who is in LA County or can click on LA and find out where the offices are, what are their hours, and what kind of services they provide.
Fariba, would you give that website again, please?
Sure, www.courts.ca.gov.
Is that court singular or plural?
It's plural.
Plural. .ca.gov. Okay, and if someone goes to that, if let's say they're in Southern California or Northern California in the middle, they can find out with respect to their county how to get in touch with the Family Law Facilitator's Office?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
That is correct.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And Fariba, isn't it also on each county's court website? Mm-hmm. I think most of them, I know ours, the Santa Clara County does, and most of the other main counties, if the court website also has a link directly to tell them about the Family Law Facilitator in that county?
Absolutely. And, you know, you can Google Santa Clara County Self-Help Center or Family Law Facilitator or really any county, and that's pretty much the easiest way you can get to that information.
Are the services provided, generally speaking, with regard to these Family Law Facilitator's offices throughout California, do they only affect people who are, let's say, low income, or can anyone actually apply and get some help if necessary?
Well, this is Maria, and actually there is a court rule that requires courts to provide procedural assistance to self-represented litigants, and it's not based on income. Anyone who is representing him or herself can come to the facilitator office and get that procedural assistance. And while we were talking about services being provided in different ways in different courts, there's also a lot of times where we are collaborating on projects throughout the state. For example, right now there are 10 lead courts in our state working on an interview style fill out the forms program that people are going to be able to use in any county. Mm. It's going to make it easier. I hate to use a private company name, but it's like a TurboTax type product where people would be familiar with that, where you don't see the complicated forms. You answer the questions, you know the answers to the questions, and at the end your forms are populated. If you're in a court that has a particular case management system that allows it to be e-filed in, you can e-file it directly when you're done. If not, you can print it out and take it to your courthouse or mail it in and file the documents. But that's really been a collaborative effort amongst 10 lead courts throughout our state, and we're constantly partnering up and looking for ways to maximize our resources and to develop technologies for people who don't need to come to the courthouse, are comfortable with technology, and can do their court business remotely.
Let me throw this one at you. If both parties to the marriage, the pending dissolution of marriage, are unrepresented, in other words, they both are self-represented, neither has an attorney, and then the other situation would be one is self-represented and the other has an attorney, how do you deal with these people? In other words, do you, generally speaking, from your respective standpoint and your experience, do you try to meet with both parties, whether they both are self-represented or both one is self-represented and the other is has an attorney? How do you deal with this kind of situation with regard to both of those factual scenarios?
Well, I think that Lolly can tell you about a great project that they have up in Sacramento that deals just with what you're talking about.
Lolly, would you tell us?
Helping people resolve their cases.
Yeah, Lolly, tell us about that, would you?
Sure. I think Maria is referring to our one-day divorce program, and that is a program where when we have two parties who are self-represented and they want to work together to finish their divorce, we offer this clinic using staff from our Family Law Facilitator's Office, but also volunteer attorneys, a lot of volunteer attorneys, and that the attorneys help the people complete all of the paperwork that they need to finish their divorce, and then they go up and see the judge, and they walk out of court with their judgment that day. And so that's one situation where we would see both of them together, because they are working together to finish their case. In our office, normally, however, we see them one at a time. Now, the fact that one party has an attorney and the other one doesn't is not a static thing. It changes throughout the life of a case. You know, both may come in self-represented and then retain attorneys, or one retains an attorney later on, or they both may come in represented and then decide they want to go on their own. It changes back and forth. So we just see one person wherever they are at that point. As long as they're self-represented, we tell them, you know, what they need to do and help them with whatever next step they're on. And they may have an attorney the next month, and they proceed with that person. But then if they don't have their attorney next year, then they might be back. He didn't finish my case. Here I am again.
Let me take a brief break from you for just a moment. All right, this is our monthly Call a Lawyer night. I want you to take advantage of this, if you would. We have several attorneys here at the station, KLW. That number is 800-525-9917. We're doing this program live on September 27th. The attorneys here at the station and I'll let you know who they are in the second half hour. For criminal law, we have an attorney here. For workers' compensation, we have for employment law, for patent law, aviation, lemon law, and for tax law, real estate. These attorneys are here at the station. Now, for those of you who may need to talk with someone else in other areas, for family law, Janet Lee Frankel, certified specialist, will take calls tomorrow, September 28th, from 9 to 10 a.m. at 415-362-9533. For estate planning, trust, and probate law, Peter Stern, a certified specialist, will take calls from now until 8 p.m. His number is 650-326-2282. And for landlord-tenant calls, landlord-tenant attorney Stephen Miyake will take calls from now until 8 p.m. at his phone, 415-421-4400. And if you're being chased by creditors, tomorrow Leon Bayer asks you to call his office. That's tomorrow, September 28th, from 9 a.m. to noon. And leave your name and phone number. He'll call you back on Friday. His number is 800-477-3111. Now, let me come back to you for a moment on this. With regard to the situation where one of the parties is unrepresented and the other one is represented, do you generally find in your experience that you can get both of them together to try to help you, or is that essentially most of the time impossible?
Actually, attorneys aren't allowed to talk to a represented party directly. They have to go through the attorney, and we're no exception on that.
I see.
If they have an attorney, we don't deal with them.
Oh, you do not. I see. Okay.
Chuck, this is Fariba, if I may.
Yeah, Fariba. Yeah, please.
I think this is where it becomes really important with regards to how services are provided in each county through the facilitator's office and self-help center. First up, there's a strong statewide public policy to reduce litigation and to foster agreement. So, for example, in our court, we are delighted when people agree, right? However, our office, just like Lolly's office, we do not assist in lopsided cases. We cannot. We cannot come in between, and because it'll look like we are the unrepresented person's attorney. You can't help it. So in those cases, the self-represented litigant has to negotiate with the attorney. We do have a settlement. In our county, we have a settlement officer who is an attorney employed by the court to assist people settle their cases. And she gets a lot of these cases to help out. Therefore, the self-represented litigant, even though they're not represented by the settlement officer, the settlement officer helps facilitate settlement. And I know that there are similar programs in the other counties as well.
So, Fariba, I notice in our county, when we have on the law in motion calendar specifically, there is a call at the beginning of the calendar for any when there's a case where there are self-represented litigants on both sides, that the attorney from the family law facilitator's office is in the courtroom. The judge will call those cases, and they step outside with the family law, the attorney from the family law facilitator's office, and they still can come back for their hearing. So, Fariba, what is the attorney from the family law facilitator's office? We as attorneys are sitting there wondering, okay, are they mediating and settling that case for them? Because now we're sitting and we're required to meet and confer when there's an attorney on one side, whether there's an attorney or not on the other side. Is that what you are assisting the litigants doing at that time?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, we actually have a rule of court that requires parties to meet and confer whether they're represented or not. And unfortunately, self-represented litigants don't often have really good communication skills, especially when they're in court. They're especially traumatized. They're nervous. They're stressed. They don't know how to do this. So often they don't meet and confer. And so with our court created the self-represented litigant calendars, where a large number of self-represented litigants' cases are scheduled. Again, both sides have to be self-represented. And yes, they're referred to our office, and we have attorney staff that meet with the parties and help them settle their issues. And for the most part, we are able to do that. But for the cases that we aren't able to settle, we can send them back to court for a hearing so they get their day in court. The difference is that they have now talked to us and they are more ready to represent themselves. Often they don't know what to say to the judge and they regurgitate everything from the 70s. And we help them focus, and even if they can't settle, at least they've had some communication and some understanding of the issues and the other party's position, and they're able to better represent themselves. I just want to reiterate that our services are not income-based. That is, we help anyone who comes through our door with the right issue. We cannot help with all issues, but we can help anyone. Our services are free. So our customers, we don't call them clients because there's no attorney-client privilege in any shape or form by statute. There's no confidentiality. We can help both sides. Our customers are not always low income. They are people who do not have attorneys for either because they can't afford it or they just want to represent themselves. Mm-hmm. And the latest stats show roughly around 70% of family court litigants are self-represented.
Let me throw this question to the four of you, and that's this. And going back to before the litigants even get into court and before they've even talked with any of you in the family law facilitator's office, what should they bring with them? If they are going to come to the family law facilitator's office, whether it's Sacramento or Orange County or Santa Clara, what should they bring with them for their initial meeting with whomever it may be at the family law facilitator's office? What kind of documents, what should they expect, and how well prepared should they be?
This is Maria. I think it's important for people to know that each county is a little different as far as how they have their case files. They may not be imaged. Other courts, all the records are imaged. So if they came to the facilitator's office, they'd be able to see what's in the file. Many are not. But they really need to start preparing mentally to be their own lawyer. They need to bring copies of everything that's been filed in their case. Mm-hmm. They need to bring proof of their income, so that not because we have any income restrictions, but most likely they will be doing a financial document, an income and expense declaration in family law, and that's going to document is going to be requiring that they attach their pay stubs for the last 2 months. And they should bring any other evidence that they want to get before the court. So ideally, if someone's going to represent themselves, they start creating a folder or a binder or a way of collecting everything together, just as if they were an attorney. You know, they have to have all their documents there. bring a pen. I know that sounds simple, but
no, that's very important.
Anything to write with or anything to write on.
A pen and paper. and paper, right?
And paper. Bring some paper and a pen.
Yeah. Well, when you say, Maria, when you say, for example, bring your pay stubs, why? Why are you telling them to bring their pay stubs? What's the purpose for that? Because you're the family law facilitator's office isn't asking anyone, any client, irrespective of their, let's say, monetary stability, they're not asking for anyone to pay the family law facilitator's office. So why bring the pay stubs?
Well, because if they are in a family law case, they're required to do what they're called preliminary declarations of disclosure. Mm-hmm. And that includes an income and expense declaration. And that income and expense declaration asks how much they make, what their deductions are. It's going to ask about their living expenses. That's part of the disclosure process in a family law case. If they're dealing with a child support case or a spousal support case, of course, how much money each person is earning is very relevant. That's the evidence of whether they should pay support and how much they should pay. And for child support, it's a guideline calculation. So we need to know how much each person is earning to be able to run that calculation and give someone an idea of what their guideline amount would be.
Now, we are nearly at the end of the statewide version, which is the first half hour of the program, which the station sends out to a number of stations in California, which will air the half hour next week. But Fariba, I know you wanted to say something about domestic violence, and in the next couple of minutes before we end the half hour, and then at that point I will invite those listeners who are with us for the full hour. I'll give them our toll-free number to call in and talk with all four of you with their questions, etc. But Fariba, what did you want to tell the listeners about domestic violence?
Thank you, Chuck. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and there are lots of activities going on nationwide that you can Google yourself. I did want to bring up the 24th Annual Domestic Violence Conference, which is put on by Santa Clara County Domestic Violence Council. I happen to be the chair this year, so I thought it would be a good opportunity to put the word out there. This is a conference that is for service providers such as law enforcement officers, domestic violence advocates, teachers, medical providers, judges, lawyers, mental health professionals. It's happening on October 13th. That's a Friday. It's an all-day conference starting at 8:30. And this year's theme is about coercive control, which is basically domestic violence perpetrated through an extended pattern of intimidation, isolation, and control. You don't have the usual act that people think about when you say domestic violence, such as hitting or pushing. This is more about pattern of control, and Dr. Evan Stark has done groundbreaking work in this area, and he's going to be our speaker. He is Dr. Evan Stark from Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. So I invite those providers who are listening to go online to sccgov.org. That's Santa Clara County government website, or just simply Google Santa Clara County Domestic Violence Council, and our page will pop up. There's a link to Eventbrite where you can purchase tickets, and of course you can read more about the conference.
So you're saying that the public is invited to come to this, is that correct?
If they can learn from it, absolutely, absolutely. This is a public event.
It is, and again, give the website again where they can go.
Sure, sccgov.org, and then you link over to Eventbrite when you can purchase tickets. And there is continuing education units available for professionals such as attorneys and mental health professionals.
Okay, all right. This is an all-day conference, I presume.
Yes, it is an all-day conference, and we have various workshops. We have two plenaries, one with Dr. Stark, and in the afternoon we have a plenary addressing coercive control in various cultures, which is extremely informative. And then after the plenaries in the morning and afternoon, we have various workshops on this topic, looking at it from different lenses for various professionals.
Well, that's very good. We have come to about the end of the statewide version of the program, which is the half hour. And for those of you who are listening to the live program, stay with us, and we'll return in just a moment. All right, it is right now at California time, 7:30:28, believe it or not. I'm looking at the time clock here. This is your legal rights, by the way, in case you've tuned us in. You wonder, what in the world am I listening to? Well, it's your legal rights. And I'm Chuck Finney, and we're talking about the Family Law Facilitator's Office. There are facilitator's offices in all counties in the state of California. The facilitator's offices are part of the family law courts throughout the state of California. If you would like to join us on the air and speak to any one of my guests, here's the toll-free number, and I welcome you to call. Please don't wait until the end of the hour, because then we're gone. So it's 866-798-8255. The toll-free number again is 866-798-8255. The topic, if you've tuned in a little bit late, is in the area of family law. We're focusing on the Superior Court's Family Law Facilitators' Offices in all California counties to assist self-represented litigants in dissolution of marriage cases. My guests are, starting with my guest in the studio with me, B.J. Fatum. He's a specialist in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. His office is in San Jose. It's my pleasure to have directors of self-help family law facilitators' offices, Maria Livingston in Orange County, Lolly Roberts in Sacramento County, and Fariba Sarouche in Santa Clara County. And so please, everyone, take advantage of this. If you're listening to us on the Internet at www.klw.org, that same phone number I just gave, the toll-free number 866-798-8255, is available to you. It is also our monthly Call a Lawyer Night, where you have a chance to speak to one of several attorneys off the air while we're doing the live program, and I'll give you the phone numbers, and I want to thank the people who are here, the attorneys who are here, as well as those who are not here. The number for the attorneys here at the station, KLW in San Francisco, is 800-525-9917. For criminal law is Jeff Hayden. He's a certified specialist in criminal law. He's the chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. For family law, Janet Lee Frankel is a certified specialist. She'll take calls from you tomorrow, Thursday, September 28th, from 9 to 10 a.m. Her number is 415-362-9533. For workers' compensation law, Rob Wyman is here. He's a certified specialist in workers' comp. Estate planning, trust, and probate law, Peter Stern, who's a certified specialist, will take calls until 8 o'clock this evening at 650-326-2282. For employment law, we have Arkady Itkin, who is here and will talk with you. He's an employment law attorney. For landlord-tenant law, we have landlord-tenant attorney Stephen Miyake, who will take calls until 8 o'clock this evening at 415-421-4400. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, and BB arbitration, we have Ron Rohde, who is here. And for tax law, real estate, he's also a real estate broker, we have Frank Adam. And tomorrow, in case you are having problems with your creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, asks you to call and leave your name and phone number. That's tomorrow, September 28th, from 9 a.m. to noon. Leon will call you back on Friday, and his number is 800-477-3111, 800-477-3111. If you call and you find, let's say you just get the voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say that you are a listener to Your Legal Rights on KLW, and Leon will call you back. All right, I want to encourage you to call us with your question, your comment, your concern. If you are facing some kind of a problem with dissolution of marriage or child custody, this is the time to call us. It's 866-798-8255. BJ, what do you find in dealing with your clients, which seems to be a major problem?
The biggest problem is just their inability to communicate with the other party.
Yeah.
You know,
I hate you. That's how they feel.
Right.
I hate you.
It's really sad. What I have found over the years with family law, which is so different than any other area of the law, is we are asking people that are taking a personal relationship of love and utmost trust, and now that it's completely broken down, we want them to put all the emotions aside. Now let's get down to business and decide what to do with the kids and divide our property up. And that's just not a human thing that is easy to do.
Very difficult.
The other thing I notice is I tell my clients, one party has emotionally or mentally left the marriage before the other. And the one that is left behind has to catch up a little bit, and that's the one that's resisting. Mm-hmm. But so that brings up, most of the time that I spend with my clients, it's not just fact gathering and helping them prepare the paperwork. So one of the things as an attorney, what I'm responsible for to do is not only to give them advice, but to analyze and strategize how to best protect their legal rights. And so the question I would throw out to Fariba, Maria, and Lolly is that legal advice, is that strategy, is that something that the consumers can get through the family law facilitator's office, and what can't they get through the offices?
Could I hear from any one of the three of you on that question, please?
Yeah, this is Lolly, and that's a good question, and it's a question that we get constantly, and it's people wanting advice. But like Maria mentioned, we are part of the court, and as part of the court, we are neutral, and we cannot give advice. Even though we are attorneys, we can't strategize with people. We can't take sides. We can't advocate. So with the information we provide is information of a neutral nature. I mean, we're all trained in the law, so we know how it works, and we try to educate individuals so that they understand what they're doing. But when they need somebody to help them get a strategic edge or to help them decide what's the best course of action for them, then that's when they need to find someone like BJ to talk to about their case.
Well, let me do this. Let me interrupt you for a moment on this because I think this is very important. And I don't want anyone to think that I am trying to promote employment for lawyers. I am not. Yes, I've been a lawyer for 50 years, a deputy DA. Now I'm in my 33rd year as a consumer advocate. But I am trying to provide, through this program, which has been going on for 33 years, education to laypersons about their rights and obligations. And support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. And if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for referrals to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar Association, here's the number, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Both of those are funders of your legal rights, but the point is that in nearly every county, there is a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is, and they will do their best to find someone who's experienced, whether it's family law or whatever it may be, and set you up for a half an hour consultation. And with minor exception, for a half an hour consultation with an attorney, you will pay throughout the state of California somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service as a public service. And so it's a very valuable thing, frankly, that I think you should keep in mind about. And people are very quiet tonight. You know, in all of the years that I have been doing your legal rights, which is now 35 years or whatever it may be, when we are doing family law, I have found that people are so hesitant to call because they're afraid that the other party is going to hear them. Mm-hmm. And that this is going to create a problem, and it is a real problem. So in any event, you can use a phony name if you want. Certainly if you have a good question that you are having trouble with, please join us, 866-798-8255, because this is an opportunity for you. If you're having a problem, you're probably representing a lot of people who are having the same problem, and I'd like you to pose it to my guests. And let me ask you, Maria and Fariba, what are the problems that you find most difficult? Maria, what do you find with your the people you're working with, your customers?
Well, I think one of the things that is important for people to understand that while we do help everyone in the facilitator program based regardless of their income, when it comes to something that is complex, for example, dividing up retirement funds, there are certain types of procedures that have to be done, and they're beyond the scope of what we can do in a self-help center. Or there's a business that needs to be valued. That's beyond what we can do. So we're often telling people that they need to go talk to a lawyer, get their own advice, and come back when they've gotten that advice, dealt with that complex issue, and we can help them move the case forward. I think probably it's one of the things that I find frustrating is when you see someone and they keep filing something over and over again, and we try, you know, and they're really not doing themselves a favor by running back into court the day after they get a decision that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to encourage them to go to an attorney to get strategic advice. That's something that people sometimes undervalue, but it's such an important thing that an attorney can do. They can look at it before the person goes into court and say, you know what, timing-wise, let's not do this.
Yeah.
You know, let's hold off, or let's go in this direction, or it'd be better for you to do this. We can't do that in the self-help center.
BJ.
So one of the things that's a great issue to raise, because another issue that a lot of consumers are unaware of is there are attorneys like myself that do what we call limited scope. So as you said, there may be just one particular issue that's complicated that needs attorney assistance. You can see that attorney. You can limit your legal fees by hiring us just to handle that part. So let's say it is to get the business valued or to get this particular motion done mm-hmm. properly. We can go in under what we call limited scope, go in and take care of that particular issue, get it resolved, and then we're done. We're closed. They can go back to the family law facilitator's office. And it may be where I've done cases where it's called bundling legal services and unbundling legal services, where I will come in and do bits of it.
Not bungling, but bundling.
Well, some I've been accused of both. So, but and then we'll send them back to the family law facilitator's office saying, okay, we took care of this. And, you know, see how far you can go. If you run against another complex issue, they're going to advise you to see an attorney again.
This is Maria. I'm really glad you brought that up, BJ, because some of the lawyer referral services now, if someone calls, they can say, I would like a family law attorney who does unbundled or limited scope services.
Mm.
And some of the lawyer referral services, I know ours in Orange County does, has a specific panel of attorneys that they can refer people to who are comfortable doing the limited scope, they're comfortable handling part of the case, and it really can be a win-win for the litigant and for the attorney to focus in on an issue where they're needed and to let the person maybe with who has limited funds do part of the case him or herself.
This is Fariba. I just want to chime in again and just say that some of your listeners may have just found out about our program is amazing to me that a lot of people still don't know this program exists, even though, for example, in my county, we've been around since 1994, right? So somebody finds out and they go, oh, perfect solution. I'm firing my attorney, putting all my paperwork in three boxes, and I'm going down there, getting in line, and they're going to help me. And I just want to say, well, we definitely play a vital role in helping self-represented litigants in certain, a lot of situations. We provide a good alternative and good service. We are not for everybody. We're definitely not for that person with three boxes of documents fires their attorney in the middle of the case. And you know, we all, Lolly, Maria, and BJ, we've all seen this. And, you know, we have to talk about strategizing. We have to talk about the fact that facilitators cannot make decisions for you. We can tell you possibly the options and consequences, but we cannot say what you should do. We can never answer should questions. And in these cases, especially with property, especially highly litigated custody visitation cases, even highly litigated child support issues, maybe high money in our area, a lot of high-tech people, they have very complicated pay stubs. And again, while we can provide really good services to a lot of folks, there are some that just simply need to see a lawyer to get that strategical advice and get prepared, and even come to settlement, but they're going to be complicated settlements.
I'd like to add something to what Farida
said. This is Lolly, is it?
Lolly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other piece of it is not just that we can't strategize, but we don't do your work. And a lot of people who come who've been represented and they have had an attorney preparing everything and doing everything, they come into our office and they're like, okay, well, now, are you going to do that? And it's like, no, you're now self-represented. Yeah. Now you have to do everything your attorney was doing.
Sure.
We just kind of talk and guide you, but you've got to be prepared to do all of the legwork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, let me throw this to the three of you, please, directors of family law facilitators' offices. What can a person expect? I know that we have had some difficulties with the funding of the court, and there's been a reduction in staff of courts, of clerks for the courtrooms, et cetera, which I'm assuming also has affected family law facilitators' offices throughout California. How soon, if someone wants to come, generally speaking, someone wants to come and talk with someone in the family law facilitator's office in your respective counties, how long will it take for them to be able to come in, or can they make an appointment, or how does this work? Let me start, Maria, with you. Let me start with you, if you would.
Sure. Well, we try to have a continuum of services in Orange County, and we are really a leader in the state on using technology and remote services. So we have a self-help portal where people can log on and they can sign up for a workshop so that they don't have to come down and wait in line and see if they get into the workshop, take off work, and pay for parking and possibly child care.
Yeah.
That portal is for people who are comfortable using technology, and they can get all their information there. People can come in, but we don't make an appointment for them to come in. It's a walk-in center. We have them in five justice centers in Orange County, so they can come in, and we have a workflow where they'll speak to someone first at our triage desk, see what it is they need. If they need a document review, we will put them on a list, but we'll also be able to tell them, because we time everything, approximately what time their appointment will be, so that we can say, okay, we're going to get to you about 9:15. Go have a cup of coffee and come back.
So in other words, you're not telling them, I want you to come back. They're here on Tuesday. You're not telling them, come back on Thursday or Friday. You're not telling them that.
No, we're telling them, you know, it'll be in 15 minutes or it might be in an hour.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But we find that reduces the stress because they have an idea of, okay, now I know how long I'll be waiting, you know, for that, and I don't have to stand here. I can go have a cup of coffee and come back. We also, so we're holding workshops, and we hold them in multiple languages, different dates at different locations. And so the person can go on the website, and they can walk in if they're not comfortable. They don't have to sign up for a workshop. We leave spaces open for people who just show up, and we tell them what to bring for the different workshops.
Lolly,
so
what's it?
They're going to talk to someone, you know, the day they come in Orange County.
Lolly, what's the situation in Sacramento County, your office there?
Yeah, it's actually not that different from what Maria described. We also have a web portal. People can request to sign up for workshops through the portal. They can also ask their questions through the portal and then receive a response back through the portal. Mm. We provide individual, you know, we review their file, we give them instructions and whatever, links to the forms on the court's website so they can do it without coming into our courthouse. But we also do the same way. We have a walk-in service, so we don't make appointments in our office. People walk in, and you know, some counties, it's first come, first serve, and it's very limited, so people get there first thing in the morning, and if they're not there in the first hour and get on the list to be seen that day, they don't get seen. But in the larger counties like Orange and Sacramento and Santa Clara, we have enough staff, and we're able to keep seeing people all day long. So it's not necessary, if you just want to walk in and talk to somebody, you don't have to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You can come in whatever time, you know, not at the end of the day when we're closing, but, you know, throughout the day and be able to talk to somebody. We also offer workshops. Most of ours are, we do have some that are drop-in and some that are by appointment. So if they're a drop-in, you just show up. If they're by appointment, that's it. You have to have an appointment. You can make it in person or you can make it through our portal.
Fariba, what's the situation for your office in Santa Clara County?
We also take advantage of technology, of course. We do have a website. Everything that is available at our office, all the form packets, samples, instructions, everything is available on our website. We also take questions and provide assistance by email, telephone, and even snail mail.
You're kidding. You use the U.S. Postal Service?
Well, we get a lot of what we call jail mail from inmates that we're able to assist.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. They want to start a divorce or, you know, they want to ask questions about all kinds of things. So we assist them by mail.
Mm-hmm.
But we're generally open for walk-in services Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays. We had to reduce the hours due to budget reductions a while back. And we have a restraining order help center where we only help people to apply for and respond to various kinds of civil violence prevention orders, mm-hmm. such as domestic violence and civil harassment. Now, that's open 5 days a week during court hours.
Mm-hmm.
The other center, our main self-help center, basically is a drop-in. We've tried to discourage people to come early, but unfortunately, our line starts. You know, somebody gets in line at 5 a.m. every morning.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
You are.
That's kind of late. And
wow.
I wish that it was like Lolly said, where if they're not here early, they can come in every day or those days, and they don't have to be early. If they want to be seen and get one-on-one assistance, they got to be coming in early, especially
yes.
with assistance in civil
wow.
issues. But we are here during business hours. There's a receptionist all day answering questions, and we do have workshops. Some are drop-ins. Some are we sign up people for. And also we have dissolution agreement workshops, and we have the same-day disso workshop like Sacramento does. So our goal is overall stop people from feeling like they have to come in and they have to come in early. We try to get them in, like Maria mentioned, is that we want them to know that they have an appointment. It is at such time that they don't have to come 3 hours earlier. To the extent we can, we do that. There are some things that cannot be avoided, and that's why we are here daily, weekly, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday to help out.
Now, let me do one more thing. The attorneys here for Call a Lawyer will be here another few minutes. I'm going to give you the phone number, 800-525-9000. 9917. If you still have a question about family law, Janet Lee Frankler will take your calls tomorrow from 9 to 10 a.m. at 415-362-9533. If you have questions about estate planning, Peter Stern will be available another few minutes at 650-326-2282. If you're a tenant or a landlord and have questions, Stephen Miyake will be available another few minutes at 415-421-4400. If you are being hounded by your creditors, Leon Baer will take your calls tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon. He will call you back on Friday, and that number, 800-477-3111. BJ, you are the one who works so closely with me on these programs. What final comments do you have? We have about a couple of minutes left in the program.
Well, I think that the most important, and the reason why I thought this program was going to be really important, is the idea is that, as Chuck, you said, you're here to help the consumers.
Yes.
And not all lawyers are out there to just grab the money from people. And family law is probably one of the most difficult areas for people. And there are resources out there, not just with private attorneys like myself, who do either like limited scope and different things to try and assist the consumers to keep their legal costs down, but there's the Family Law Facilitator's Office to try and help with when we collaborate together. And I work a lot with Fariba on all kinds of different projects. And I find that by collaborating all together, that the consumer can get through some of these most difficult times in their lives and not really break the bank if it's done right.
Well, I would hope so. We have about half a minute. Let me throw this to you, Maria. What final comments do you have? You have about 25 seconds.
Okay, so my comment is that I want people to know that there is help out there for them at the courthouses in this state, and that each court is really making an effort to increase access to justice through language access, through procedural assistance, and we are here to support you as you go through this process.
We have come to the end of the program. I want to thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights, Directors of Self-Help Family Law Facilitators Offices, Fariba Sarous, Santa Clara County, Lolly Roberts, Sacramento County, Maria Livingston, Orange County, and, of course, B.J. Fatum, a specialist in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chuck. The four of you have been wonderful, and thank you for your great information.
Next time on Your Legal Rights, our topic will be move-aways. It will still be in the family. We're not leaving it, folks. This is when one parent wants to move away with the child, and we'll be talking about custody and visitation issues. You're wondering, well, who am I going to have on? Well, guess who? B.J. Fatum will join us and talk about this. And we'll also be joined by Dr. Michael Kerner, a clinical and forensic psychologist. So that's next time on Your Legal Rights. And I hope you will join us for that then. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights was made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program for national distribution. Your Legal Rights is available as a podcast free of charge at www.klw.org/subscribe. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station.